Welcome to the Rehab Your Life podcast. I am your host, Karen Malone, and I'm a certified rehabilitation counselor. My goal is to help you realize that no matter what you have been through, you can rehab your life. I will be sharing stories of women who have overcome medical challenges just like myself. We will talk about medical trauma, setting SMART goals, holding each other accountable, and spiritual growth and development, and more. I'm looking forward to growing with you on this journey this year. And we will get started in just a few moments. This episode is brought to you by I Run On Oils. Owner Carolyn Todd is an independent wellness advocate of doTERRA oils. Have you been struggling with your mood, skin, or hair? Could you benefit from learning how to use oils to boost your immune system, strengthen your hair, and clear up your skin, and more? Try I Run On Oils. Speak to independent wellness advocate Carolyn Todd today. Check out their website. It's a bit.ly/I Run On Oils. All right, this is the first episode for the 2023 Rehab Your Life podcast. I am so excited to have this guest on today. You know, she and I did not know each other before last year, and it was just such a blessing to be able to meet this young lady. Her name is Sandra Jones. She is a breast cancer survivor, and we just became fast friends out at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Chicago. So welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for being willing to be my first guest of the new year. Thank you so much, Sandra. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell people about your story.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Karen. What a sweetheart. Yes, just to reiterate, yes, we met in Chicago at CTCA. And who knew that the journey would bring us together? But she's always in my prayers. She's a wonderful woman of God and just a wonderful person altogether. Sometimes I think we forget to just notice the person. But my journey started back in June of 2021. I never will forget. My whole life changed that day. I actually had gotten COVID. And so I went to my nurse practitioner, who is just a wonderful woman. And she said to me, Sandy, I don't like how your lymph nodes feel. And she says, it seems to follow all the way through the area where your lymph nodes go and around your breast. She goes, I'm going to send you right over to get some x-rays at the hospital. Now, Karen, you and I both know, when you get your x-rays and ultrasounds done, the radiologist sends them to your doctor, and then your doctor calls you up and you consult. I knew something was wrong because this doctor came down to me in my room, introduced himself as the radiologist. He said, I think we need to act expediently. He said, I would bet my last penny on it, but this is not a lump, and because it's radiating through the lymph nodes all the way down and around the breast, I would say this is breast cancer, and it looks like it's advanced. So I want to start the ball rolling as quickly as possible. So that's what the first news was. And I didn't know how to, I didn't know, you know this, and this is my heart and my passion toward other people. Nobody knows how it feels when that person opens their mouth out and says, you have cancer. Your whole world stops. I don't care how much you know the Lord, how much you love your husband, your children, the cat, the dog, you go blank. Because you know other people it always happens to, but here it is with me. So the journey began there. I went and got, you know, the biopsies. They confirmed it. There was a lot of chaos during that time. The doctor who originally had me dropped the ball. It was like a month before I could get in to see anyone. My daughter called me up and she said, Mom, this is enough. I'm going to make some calls. And she called up CTCA in Chicago. And you know, from visiting with them, they got me in the next day and flew me out.
Oh yeah, they are so quick about taking
care. Yeah, aren't they? I still can't figure out how they do that, but that's where the journey started.
Yeah.
So I went through tons of chemo. To even back it up, we thought we could do some lumpectomies and take out the nodules from the lymph nodes. We did that 2 weeks, the doctor called back and she said, sorry, I can't get the margins clear. So we're going to have to take the whole breast. And so I did that. I let them take, it's not like I had any choice. I wanted this stuff out of me. And, you know, as far as praying, you're just so overwhelmed. The only thing you could do is really cry and go, oh. You cry from the inside. There's a moaning that goes on the inside. There's a depth in you that when you can't pray, something else, the Holy Spirit, prays on the inside. So I went through probably 3 operations because things just kept going wrong. It just seemed like they told me, they said, gosh, you're like the perfect patient. Unfortunately, if there's side effects or something goes wrong, you're the one. So we went through that process. Then we got to radiation. Well, I checked around and asked a couple people and they said, hey, radiation's not going to be that bad. They told me I had to do 5 weeks. So I stayed in Chicago for 5 weeks. Radiation was horrific. It burned and tore me up in ways I thought the chemo was bad. The radiation put a cherry on top. So now I've got all kind of complications from the radiation. We're going into almost 10, 11 months at this point. Got through the radiation. So now I got to have another surgery. You know how it progresses. Now we got to have another surgery to undo what the radiation did. So we went through the radiation.
Wow.
Went through another surgery. Now I sit before you and I said, Father, I can't do any more surgeries. And I don't think that this surgery did everything it was supposed to do because they took, they had to take an artery from down below to place it up here to get blood flow because during the surgery, they found a blood clot. So the blood clot now tells them that we got another issue. So it just kept going on and on. So that's really, without dragging it all out, I'm going to write a book because I want to give people hope. I want to let them know, just as yourself, to keep persevering. Cry through it, roll through it, do whatever you have to do. But there's got to be something on the inside of you just simply says, I'm not going out like that. That's going to be the name of the book.
Yeah,
I am not going out like that. I'm not going out without a fight.
Amen.
Going to roll over. So my journey now is I don't have to see them again until January because now of all the radiation, everything, they want me to do a bone density test. And I really don't want to go, but half of the progress and the process is knowing. You can't pray about what you don't know unless the Holy Spirit tells you. So get to go back. So that's really the story, you know, in a nutshell. You know, there were steps. The doctors were very loving, very nice, very kind. I wouldn't have had done any other way. I think it was the right choice. The commute did become a little taxing, going back and forth to Chicago every 3 weeks for, you know, the chemo. And then after the chemo, I had to do my surgeries there, everything there. Traveling with the tubes and the bulbs and all of that. That was really difficult. Didn't think that part through because I didn't know, but there was nothing you could do. I mean, you had to go, you had to have the surgery. They made sure you were okay to get on the plane. And then when you got on the plane, now you've got tubes all in you, well, you got to come back and get them out. So you got to get back on the plane and go back there. So it's been a journey, but I sit here before you and I tell you, I'm ready to go get my sisters. Nobody should have to go through any type of cancer by themselves, psychologically, physically. Yeah. They shouldn't have to do this. And no one tells you what the journey's going to be like. Mine is not like yours.
And you know, it's different. Yeah, it's different for everybody. And so, but mm-hmm. there's that one thing, that inner strength that you were talking about, that you have to dig deep, and that we all have that. We just have to be encouraged to find it, you know?
Yes.
Because you go through a lot of the different procedures and you've never had to go through those things before. You don't know how it's going to make you feel, but yeah. you can get through it.
Yes, you can. And that's just it. You don't know how you're going to feel. I think in the beginning, after the first chemo, I was like, oh, this isn't too bad. And the doctors would kind of look at you kind of like, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be your special
child. Yeah, it ain't hit you yet. That's all.
Yeah. He's like, sit tight. Mm. And then I realized, you know, I said to him, I said, I don't even think I need to even take off from work. And I remember him saying this. Oh, you're going to take off time from work. And I was like, why? He said, later on during the process, you are going to have to take off time from work. It got to the point where not only did I take off time from work, I went ahead and did an early retirement because someone explained it to me this way. Even though we don't have any of the chemo and the radiation still in our bodies, it's like a storm. The storm has come in, it's done its damage, and it's gone. So there's no residue of the storm ever being there except for the damage that it did. So the chemo and the radiation are gone, but the damage that it did, that is what now the pursuit, the process that you have to rebuild your body. You're so weak and you're so damaged from the storm. The storm's gone, but you now have faculties where you're trying to build up your stamina, your endurance, your mind, you know, the clarity in your mind, being able to think clear. So it's a process. It truly has been.
I love that analogy.
Yeah. Someone, I don't know if I heard or someone gave it to me, but when they said it, I explained it to my daughters, really went with me on a lot of this journey. We're still residually now going through how it affected my daughter in college. You know, your children, you don't think it's affecting the rest of your family, my husband, but psychologically they needed support. And I didn't realize that I wasn't the only one in the canoe going down the river. Her grades her sophomore year just fell off the deep end, you know, and psychologically the pressure that was on my husband, you know, you pull 40,000-50,000 from a two family. You're only working on one salary now. I have built up bills all on my own. You know, I went out because I, you know, you didn't hear me roar. I went out and bought my own car. You know what I'm saying? So now all those things are on his plate. He's worried about his wife. He's worried about the home, the finances. So psychologically and emotionally and physically, he's under just as much of an attack as I am. So it's a devastating.
Exactly.
It doesn't affect the people who have the cancer. It affects all of us that are associated with that person. So
right. And so when your cancer was found, what stage was it?
You know, I still can't get a clarity now. They said it was like tinkering between when it first started out between a two, they thought it was just stage two, until the margins came back and they were unclear. It was HER2 positive, which meant the cells were feeding off of each other. If it had been HER2 negative, we could have went in and cleaned it up and we would have good to go. So HER2 positive says they're looking for friends. They're not going out on their own. They're inviting people into them. You know, the cell is invaded instead of them just meeting cells along in their travel in the blood. So it was a stage two at the beginning, and then it migrated up to a three. And after that, I really didn't even care anymore. I didn't want to hear anything else about it because everything I had been exposed to, it went the wrong way. I had symptoms, side effects from the chemo, the radiation. They never saw anybody have such terrible symptoms. The whole left side of my body was raw, just raw. Mm-hmm. And so the work that they had done, really the radiation undid it. And I'm still now where they want you to rehab it. I love it, right? Where I don't have the motion and the mobility in this arm. So, and it's still, it's still painful, but these are the battle wounds. These are the things that we deal with and we go through, and that's it. We have to go through, but we can do
And, you know, I find it a beautiful thing that we are able to relate to one another over our faith, for one, and that this thing called cancer is in our lives. But I would say there has been a difference that I see in those who have breast cancer, because breast cancer was one of the first cancers that they put a lot of funding behind. Mm-hmm. And so have you had that experience of having other women with breast cancer kind of rally around you, or have you yet to find that community?
I have yet to find that community. That's why I'm going to start that community. I'm definitely going to start that community, because I just don't want to see any woman out here by themselves. And you're even alone, Karen, you know, you're even alone, even when you have your family. You need people that you can identify with.
That is
people
true.
You know, have they ever heard the word cancer? You know, whether it be, you know, blood cancer, bone cancer, the word cancer itself carries a whole dimension all to itself. So I, as a breast survivor, and I'm believing God that when I go back, that everything will still be where it's supposed to be. You know, I'm sitting, I've been working through, you know, how do I put this together? How do I reach these women? You know, when you go to the cancer center itself, of course, there's tons of us running around, but you leave, you got to leave there and go home. So that is where I'm at now. And 2023, I will hit the floor, you know, not just praying, but sometimes just being there to listen. They just want somebody to listen.
Definitely.
That they will, that's been there, that understands. So I want to be that person and have resources, like, you know, oh my gosh, like, who do you call? Like, okay, the financial part of it, who do I call? Breasts? Do I call these folks? How am I going to afford all this?
Right.
You know, it's a, I don't, you know, if I don't have insurance, what do I do? Your doctors are there to help you, and they do try. But all those things hit you like this, and you're overwhelmed. So you're overwhelmed with the healthcare portion. You're overwhelmed. Well, what am I going to do when I'm out from work? You know, short-term disability is only going to pay 80%. I got 100% on my bills. Right. So all that comes into play. So that's another aspect of it. So I'm trying to put all of these pieces together, not just the spiritual, but the natural too. You know, there's things that we have to do here. We have we have to take care of people. You know, we have people that are looking up to us, responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the beginning there, you can't do a whole lot of anything. I'm putting it together. I'm getting it together. And it's just
I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And anything that I can do to help to, you know, move that forward. And even if you, you know, looking towards 2023, if we're able to do anything, you know, in partnership, I would love to be able to do that. Because I also plan to reach out to more women who are just dealing with medical conditions in general, not just specifically cancer. But definitely cancer is one of those targeted areas that I intend to make an impact on. So let's start with the 7 powerful questions. So, of course, you've touched on a couple of them. My first question is always asking people if they are a spiritual person, because in all honesty, even those who have battled cancer, I've come across several people that did not have a relationship with God in the beginning of their journey. So some people think it's odd that I ask that question, but not everyone is.
No, that's an excellent question. I am a spiritual person. Actually, I'm an ordained minister. But when this cancer hit me, everything that I thought I knew and even understood about God became blur. I'm keeping it real with you. I'm not going to get on here and say to you, oh, and I stood on the word and I rebuked it and I bind it and I loose. No, I didn't do that. I think I was in shock, just shock. But I am a spiritual person. I trust him with all my heart. But I know how to, and even when I was going through the cancer treatments, I happened to be in a counseling program. I had to finish my program while I was going through all that because I didn't want to stop in the middle. So I know my professor probably thought, this woman needs to just go somewhere and sit down because she is just all over the place. But God, my witness, I got through it. But yes, I am spiritual, but I am not so high-minded and spiritual that I can't relate. I can't relate to the human being. I can't relate to the person. I can't relate to, you don't know God. And that's a great question, because when you asked that question, what came to my mind like this, on the way back one day, coming back into Texas from Chicago, I met a man and he had cancer. I can't remember what kind, but he was, you know, they had done everything he could do and they only gave him a short months. And one thing he said to me, he says, I don't want to hear nobody else tell me nothing about God. I don't want to hear nobody tell me nothing about pray. He said, I just don't. Now, he didn't know who I was or anything. And I said to myself, Father, what do I do with this? And he said, Sandy, you minister to him without preaching the word. So it gave me a different dimension about ministry, that you don't need to shout and scream and yell and carry on and shove the word down, because the word should be, hey, you know what? You're going to be on my heart and my mind. And I don't think I saw him again, but he left such an impression.
Yeah, it's a lot, especially the men. It's harder for the men, I see, that for them to be vulnerable enough to surrender to God. So I had an experience like that with a guy who it was a work relationship. And then when he got diagnosed with cancer, he called me and was like, I knew exactly who to call. He was like, you're standing on your faith. I need to know what it is that you know. And I was able to, you know, share the word with him. And before he passed, he gave his life to Christ. And so, you know, it's a lot more difficult for the men I've worked with.
And that may have been an element because I hadn't dealt with any. So that's okay. He impacted and changed my life and he doesn't even realize it.
Question number two. What have you learned about yourself while going through your challenges?
That there's nothing. Going through all these challenges, I realized that one, you have to go through them. It was more painful for me to stay stuck on stupid, as they say, that when I was given, you know, do we take the breast? Yes. She really didn't say, should we? It was more of a yes. I realized that as a woman, how would I feel without that part of my body? And then I realized that no matter what part of your body you lose, it's just, it's mentally, it's just a hot mess. Your mind, now you get to go on another whole trip. So I learned that you have to go through the process. You can't stop. Because if you stop, you're constantly rehearse over and over and over. I've lost this. I've lost this. Instead of looking forward, going, I'll adapt. I'll change. I'll make it. I'll grow.
Yeah.
I learned something about me. That unless you're really for Sandy with that issue, you probably won't address it. And this is going to sound weird. But Karen, through this all, I'm not going to say I'm glad I got cancer, but I thank God for the process. I thank him that what I'm learning about being human and about mankind and us as human beings, it has totally shifted.
Yeah.
And now I know why there's so many people in the body of Christ, because everybody can't handle everything. And there's some people who won't be able to handle it. So that's what we're here for.
And it doesn't sound weird, because I say the same thing, that I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but I also wouldn't change a thing, because I feel like it brought me to the feet of Christ. It brought me so close to him, and it let me see how much he loves me. Yes. And that he keeps waking me up each and every day with a plan and a purpose. And so, you know, being able to meet someone like you know, we would have never met otherwise.
See, that's and exactly being the able nail to see, on the head.
Yeah, being able to see what he will do with this new friendship, you know, it's awesome to be able to, although having to go through, but you see so much joy and so much, so many opportunities on the other side of it. Yes. That if you just change your perspective just a little bit, then you can enjoy the journey. And that might sound weird to even say, but you can enjoy the journey if you focus on him instead of focusing on the circumstances.
At that, you know what? If I could have written that down, I'd steal that from you, because that's what it is. It's a journey that has been empowered by either him or no one, but you have to go on the journey to find out. And I think we found out that he has a relationship with us that many people, Karen, will never get to experience. Because when somebody tells you that you're getting ready to check out, you're getting ready to leave, to go home, your whole perspective and your relationship changes, not just with him, but with people all around you. So yes, the journey has been empowered. Yeah.
Yeah. So this feeds right into the next question. Question number 3, how have you experienced the grace of God during this season?
Whew. That's a good one. I've experienced the grace of God because there were days when I could not pray. There were days when I didn't know how much 2 + 2 was. And it was just by the grace of God that he would allow me to go through that without, you know, acknowledging him or praying to him or singing to him. There were days where I just laid there before him like this, you know, I'd be like, you know. But I knew the grace was there. I just existed in his presence, in his grace. And it was sufficient. It simply was sufficient. Yes. There's no way I can put it into words. It was one of those experiences such as yourself. You have to go through it. I understand. You understand with grace and mercy to a depth that, you know, if we think about it too long, we probably just break down and just simply cry together. So, you know, I don't want to stay there too long, because his grace is sufficient. I understand that.
Yeah.
Before, I've had difficult things in my life before, but nothing like this.
Yeah.
Nothing that quite was like this.
So question number 4. I'm assuming that you are familiar with the fruit of the Spirit, the 9 fruit of the Spirit. But I'm going to list them out just to list them out. So we have faithfulness, self-control, patience, goodness, gentleness, joy, kindness, peace, and love. And so in what ways do you see the evidence of the fruit in your life?
Patience. That one has been amplified Because when you can't do for yourself, you realize that nobody does anything as good as you do. And now you rely on everyone else to do everything. Your patient starts to let go and let God, or let go and let the nurse, or let go and let the radio, let you start to really sit. When I wake up in the morning now, I'm not that, you know, boom, 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 got to get it done, got to get it done. So now I might have gone to the other extreme. So the fruits of the Spirit were all amplified for me, but the patience one, I believe now I can identify with it more than any other time in my life. I understand now that that patience, slow your roll, and let's just acknowledge him. He's got this, because you know there's nothing you can do about it, because you just came out of a situation. There was nothing you could do. You laid on that table in the MR rooms for breast cancer. They flip you over like a pancake, and they put you all in this, and it's the most painful. I cried like a baby on that table. I begged them, people, take me off that table. And all I kept saying, all I kept hearing was, be patient and trust me. I'll be just you. And so patience became amplified. Love, you know, and the joy was there when they finished doing whatever they were going to do automatically. You know, but I learned to interact with my family a little bit better. Now I have to remind myself a little bit, because I'm feeling a little bit better now. So, you know, I have to remind myself, Sandy, don't forget the lessons. Don't forget the experiences, especially with the fruit of the Spirit that you just came through. Because you do not, I'm like, Father, I do not want to go, you know, that's another whole story for another time. You know.
Right.
So
question number five, what kinds of support did you receive from family and friends throughout your challenges? And the reason that I like to ask this question is because sometimes people don't know what they can do for you. They don't know how to help. And so I always like for people to share the different ways that you did receive support from family and friends.
Well, that's probably one of your top questions too. People who get diagnosed with cancer, you have to learn to communicate real quick with those around you. And I had two of my daughters were out of state, so I couldn't rely on them. But then I had the one in college who thought she was my mom. I didn't want her to take on that responsibility. But I did express to her, and we actually became closer during that process, because I actually was able to talk to her about, while she was in school, if I can, you can. I'll support you if you support me. Well, not if, but she already was. And I told her, I said, I can pray if I can't do anything else. But I started to see people support me. I even had my co-pastor from my last church. She just started calling me up and praying for me. She has no idea what that meant. So I am looking now even to do a segment in the stuff that I'm putting together about, let people around you help. It may not be how you think you want it, but that's when he's working out all those little issues, the fruits of the Spirit in you, because you think you can do it better than everybody else. No, let those people help you cook and clean and take care of things. No, nobody cleans like mother, but you need to back off and let them help you. And if they're not helping you, don't be afraid to open your mouth. You may even want to, when you're sitting down, make a list, you know, email people, do whatever. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. And I think as women, that's difficult for us, to let go of the rain and let people come in our kitchen and clean our house.
Well, but even from a personal perspective, like if you need help with bandaging and if you need help with bathing, you're letting someone into your personal space. Even if it is your husband or your child, you know, you're still letting someone into that private personal space.
Excellent point. I think that was probably the hardest. The personal hygiene, and you had to measure your fluids every day because they wanted to know how much, you know, what it was and all that. That was hard. And sometimes they do it and they hurt you, you know, because they would tweak the tubes the wrong way or whatever. And I'd be like, no, no, leave it alone. Leave it alone. I'll do it. I'll do it. That was, that is something where I found the communication really had to, and I know that I'm not confrontational. So I'm very, I love to communicate, but I'm not confrontational. I'm not going to be the one to ignite or to initiate a conversation. And so that was something that I found that the father was working on me during the process, because my husband is a very timid person. He doesn't like blood. He doesn't like, if you show him any of that, he literally will get sick and pass out. So I had no one here but him to help me with these bandages. And so, you know, he get nervous and tweak, but that was the best. So that is something I am writing down now and saying, don't be afraid to ask for help, because you're going to need it. Surrender and give it up, especially us women. You know, we could take care of our men or children or boys or cats or dogs, and vice, and the same thing with our children. When you say the word cancer, whether it's breast, you know, whether it's blood, whether it's bone, whether it's neuro, no matter, colon, whatever it is, you're going to need support. So if you can't get support, I'm trying to work on resources to find out what kind of support can we get for people like that. Is there a network? Those are all the pieces that are a little harder to put together, but I'm trying to do something, at least in my area.
Are you looking for your specific area, or are you looking statewide, nationwide?
Well, that's the question. And I think, you know, how do you chew gum, or how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? I want to start local. I live in a very rural community, very rural, very, you know, closest, we won't even get there. But so how do we get people like that help? And I even had people, I had a lot of support because my husband grew up in the community. But if I didn't, how would somebody get help? Yeah, you can call CNA. And all of those, and those are all the first, but people, like you said, when you're intimate like that, washing and changing, sometimes you just don't want a stranger to come in, especially when you're in your home. So that's a piece that I'm still developing and still working on.
Okay. So, and this actually lends itself to question number 6. Do you have any words of wisdom for someone who may be going through the same thing? Or something similar?
You know, the word of wisdom that I would give anyone is, I know how I felt when I heard those words for the first time, you have cancer. And I didn't feel like nobody could identify with me at all. I just wanted someone either to talk to or to hug and just weep. You know, just kind of cry and get through the first 24 hours. And my thing is, don't be afraid to reach out to someone and say exactly what you said. What am I going to do? Because you need a day almost to mourn. Because you feel like something, whether you get through it or not, you feel like something has just died. You feel like you just lost something. Because you know, once they diagnose you, you know something's going to happen. You know, yes, you can stand and trust and believe, but I prayed about it the first day and into the second day. I heard the word process. You're going to go through this process. So my whole world, it was already falling apart. It just shattered that day. So I would say some people will want that day by themselves, and that's okay. Don't get yourself into condemnation, feeling like, just tell everybody, I was just diagnosed. Give me a day to get my head around this. Give me some time to grieve over this diagnosis. And then I can come out and talk. I noticed when I first, you know, was telling people, a lot of things were shooting at me. Go here, do da-da-da. Give them a good two, three, maybe a 2 days, three, let them deal with it first.
Right.
Because we got to get,
right.
You know, it's okay. You know, a day or two isn't going to make a difference. But everybody processes a grief. People process things at different time intervals. Just give them time. They're not pushing you away. They really do need you. But after I finished grieving my day, then I needed someone to come into the grieving process with me and choose someone who you're the closest to. And whether it be on the phone or whether it be in person, you need to connect with. And there were days when I just didn't know how to articulate that. So I grieved a little longer by myself than I think I had to. And so now I got to revamp my mind. So wisdom is, and when you get news, don't be so quick to act on it. You know, look at your options. Don't worry about hurting the doctor's feelings. Be slow to quit.
Yes.
Yeah. Be slow, because once you start going down a certain path, the doctors will pull you down there with you, whichever direction they go. You have to be comfortable with the decisions that you make. You have to be comfortable with the decisions that you make. So don't.
But know that you can pivot at any time, though. You can pivot at any time. That's the new thing that I've learned.
Yes.
Because you're right. They will take you on that journey. But you have the right to say, let's take a beat. Let's pause. And let's figure it. Let's look at it again.
Yeah. And that is probably what I did. I didn't tell my family something I did. They put me on this medication that, you know, I'm supposed to take for the rest of my life. And I hope none of them hear about this podcast, because I'm going to tell you, I had a check in my spirit. The father said, you need to change some of your eating habits, some of your habits and some things. He said, but this pill is to keep you in the loop. You need to stop this one for a while. It was causing me to burn and itch like crazy. I look like a chicken in a store. My skin would just start like 1,000 pins. And they said I was having, you know, like an allergic reaction, but they still want me to stay on.
Yeah, I think that was the last time that we talked. You were telling me about that. Yeah.
I couldn't live anymore like that. I just couldn't. They don't know I'm off of it, but I decided that I'm going to do some research on my own and see where that leads me. But like you said, you can tweak it anytime. You know, but once you start, you know, I didn't finish all of my chemo. I told them, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
I told them, I said, I can't do anymore. I knew my body, you know, when your palms and your feet, all of this fleshy part of your body, the bottom of your feet turn black like this shirt, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. You stick a fork in me, flip me over like a pancake. You're done. You know, so let's leave the chemo. So I think they tried to say, well, because we didn't stay on the chemo, that's why, you know, we had to take the whole breath. Please, potato, potato. So just be patient with yourself and making decisions. You can go on and research and tell the doctor, I'll get back to you on that. And then check some of your resources. Mm-hmm. Check with other patients that have the same thing you do. Facebook, boy, they've got a whole lot of sites out there. There's nothing wrong with listening. Yeah. Just don't get too, you know, because you drive yourself crazy on Facebook, because everybody has different stages.
Right.
And so you have to be careful with that. But that's that would be the wisdom, is know that it's not written in stone.
Yeah. So question number 7, final question. And you've alluded to this throughout our conversation. How do you plan to use what you have been through to encourage someone else?
When you get a diagnosis of cancer, especially breast cancer, please know there are so many resources. There are so many other people who have gone through, going through the same diagnosis that you are. And know that, yes, you're going to be in a fight, but that's when the woman in you comes out, and let her roar. And let her say, I'm not going out without a fight. I'm not going out like this. I've got things to do. I need to see. I know that there's more. And I think once you get your mind wrapped around that, I think your body follows and says, oh, okay. Oh, we can't do this. No, body, you cannot do this. Not now. I'm going to go one day. I realize that. But right now, I'm not going to let this dictate to me per what the doctor said. Oh, we can give you another 2 years. No. You're not the author and the finisher. Now I'm going to go through this. But just know, this is when you get to pull up your big girl panties, put them on, put on your boots, get you some sisters, get you your friends, pet, whatever, and fight. Fight with everything in you. Yes, there are going to be days you're going to cry. Yes, there are going to be days you're going to scream. And yes, hopefully there's days you don't want to cuss anybody out. I was good. I didn't cuss anybody out. They told me I was irritable. I did become non-compliant a couple times, but I held my ground. I held my ground. And here we are, Karen. We're still here.
And, you know, it was this time last year. So won't he do it? Won't he do it a whole year from the time coming up on a whole year from the time we first met? And, you know, little did you know that that was my first visit out to CTCA. And that doctor pretty much said that he wasn't going to be able to do anything for me. Remember, I was telling you that, and you were like, I don't understand. They always have a plan. And I'm like, well, he basically said that, you know, I've already outlived longer than what they thought that I would. And so a year later, still here. Won't he do it? Is faithful.
He's faithful
to his word. He is faithful.
Yes.
And I feel fine. My CEA number is lower than it's ever been. I do have some pain. Yeah, I do have some pain with the sciatic nerve. But other than that, I'm healthy. You see the girl that put on a little bit of weight. I'm healthy. My CEA number is a 3.8. And at that time, it was a 27.
Wow.
And so God is good. God is good. He is faithful. And I just thank the Lord for this year that we have had to get to know each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there will be some ventures, because I want to do something, you know, a little more up north. I would like to present to some of the churches that I used to be affiliated with. I want to connect with those women. And I'm not there to, you know, take anything from them. I give freely to them what I know that we've been through, tried and tested, you know. So it's going to come to pass. We're going to be able to reach out and get those isolated.
Yeah, let me know if there's anything that I can do to help support your cause, and I will let you know the different things that I have going on and see if you are able to support or participate. And so I'm just looking forward to continuing this sisterhood in Christ and seeing where God is taking it. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you. All right, Karen, I love you, and I hope to...
This episode is brought to you by Renew You Body Butters. Renew your skin, renew your life. Renew You Body Butters is a handcrafted luxury skincare brand that seeks to heal you and your loved ones, one application at a time. So if you suffer from eczema or other skin conditions, try Renew You Body Butters. And just for Rehab Your Life listeners, there is a special code, RENEWYOU20, for 20% off your order, and you get free shipping on orders over $99. Go to RENEWYOUBODYBUTTERS.com. This episode is brought to you by my books, Lose to Win and Nothing Can Stop the Promises of God, Not Even COVID-19. They are both available on Amazon.com, and please consider switching over to smile.amazon.com and add Rehab Your Life as your nonprofit of choice that you would like to support in 2023. That's one way that you can support the organization with your everyday shopping. That is smile.amazon.com and add Rehab Your Life as your nonprofit. Thank you in advance. Thank you for tuning in for our very first episode of the new year. Be on the lookout for our upcoming events, and we hope to see you back again soon. Talk to you guys later.